of safety. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wednesday night, Pastor preached a great message about the importance of the name of Jesus. And you owe it to yourself if you did not hear that message to go back and listen to it. And I'm here to tell you there's an app for that. There is an app for that. His name is a strong tower. And I want to run into it. I want to be covered by the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. It's a great segue, great song selection. Thank you very much for that. Because today I want to talk about finding a safe place. Finding a safe place. You can be seated. The Lord's going to be our help today. And I believe that God is sending into this place right now some waves of deliverance from the power of fear. We are looking for a safe place. A couple things have confirmed this subject in my spirit. Not the least of which was Pastor's sermon. So thank you, Pastor, for preaching that on Wednesday. I appreciate the confirmation. I appreciate the messaging that went beyond what this message will be. So again, go back and listen to his message. I cannot keep up, so it will be worth listening to him. Go back and listen to Sunday's message. I was sitting listening to Sunday's message with Brother Brock Hall, and I'm like, will you get off my sermon? If not, I know he can, and I know he will. But if not, I'm still not going to bow to the enemy. Amen. Confirmation. I appreciate the confirmation. Another source of confirmation has been living with me for 3 weeks. My parents' dog. Sister Moya, if you have that photo, go ahead and put it up. My parents' dog, Dolly, has been staying with... I know. Aww. She's so cute. She's so sweet. Her name is Dolly. She is a beautiful tricolor collie. She has a big old bark. That was for all the kids. A deep bark that's kind of scary if you don't know her. And if she just barks at you across the parking lot, you know, I live pretty close, so if she sees somebody in the parking lot, she thinks it's a friend. Even the voters who were here on Tuesday, she was pretty convinced she knew all of them. And so anytime I'd take her out, she would try to bark and get their attention, and maybe they'd come over and play with her. She definitely would intimidate someone who doesn't know her because of her size. She's about 70 pounds, and she's got a big, ferocious bark. Now, there's not a ferocious bone in her body, but she does have a ferocious bark. And the biggest irony for Dolly the collie is that she is actually a big scaredy cat. She is one of the most anxious animals that we've ever had in the family. My parents got her at 3 months, but I'm not sure what trauma she endured for those 3 months, but it was sufficient to mark her with a lifetime of anxiety. And if I list all of her fears, we would be here all day. I think we don't want to do that, so I'll just give you a little glimpse. Dolly is afraid of plastic bags. Those grocery bags you get at the store, if I put those up on the dining room table and stuff starts to settle and she hears that plastic crinkle, she will bolt for the other room. She is not having it. Dolly is afraid of doorways and any narrow place that she has to walk through. So she usually goes down to like an army crawl and skitters through her way through pretty recklessly until she can find a safe place. When we go outside, Dolly's afraid of my keychain that I have to put in the door and lock the door. it's one of those elastic things that goes on your wrist, and when I take it off the wrist, she kind of cowers in fear. It's a terrifying keychain, apparently. Dolly is afraid of the footstool that I keep under my desk. And so if I put my feet up while I'm working, she runs out of the room. Dolly is afraid of all of the big noises, but especially the wind on a windy day. If she hears wind in the tops of the trees, she will bolt for the house. She is truly afraid of strangers on the front porch. She's also afraid of friends on the front porch. Basically, any human, known or unknown, is a scary thing on the front porch. And Dolly does love people. She will run and try to run up to someone to greet them, except that she has an avoidant attachment style. So she will run up and turn right around. She runs thinking, I love people, I love people, I love people. Then she gets up to people. She's like, people are terrifying. People are scary. So especially if you're carrying something, she does not like anything being carried above her in some way. I will say that Sister Anita and Brother Larry probably, and Pastor and Sister Dory probably have the longest record of having time with Dolly out in the yard, that she's not running away from them. They might even occasionally get to pet her, which usually what happens is she'll run toward them and then they go to pet her and she can't handle that. So she runs away. Now she does love, Nathan and Austin will come over and help me with something at the house, and then they'll play with her in the backyard. And if you throw her pig, she adores you until you try to pet her, and then she runs away. She's afraid of riding in the car. She's afraid of litter that might tumble across the yard. She will not be outside if there's a plastic bag rolling across the yard. And if I pick it up, now I'm the terrifying person. And so I have to go and throw it away before I can come back and take care of her in the yard. But she's learned in my house to carve out a safe place for herself. At my house, it's the guest room / office in the back corner. It's where I spend most of my days because I work from home. And so I'm there with her. And she will jump. I cover my day bed with big old blankets for all of you who are like, no dogs on the bed. I cover the day bed with big old blankets, and she jumps up there, and young people, have you ever played The Floor is Lava? She's kind of in a permanent game of The Floor is Lava when she's scared. And so when she encounters something that's fearful, she will scamper off to my back office and jump up on the day bed and wait for the scary to pass. Now, all of these many things truly scare Dolly. But her true nemesis, her very own personal public enemy number one, is the terrifying HVAC monster that lives in the basement. The heater / air conditioner terrifies her. So somewhere along the line, she came to believe that fans and heaters were scary. So scary that she'll run to her safe place in the back bedroom where there's also a vent. And she hunkers down on the daybed and she stares at the vent until the noise stops. She won't play. She won't eat when the fan is on. Nothing fun can happen until the HVAC monster shuts down. She's truly, truly afraid. And even on top of the HVAC, she's learned that life is full of very scary things. And her tendency is to treat everything and everyone new with suspicion. Her fears have literally made her avoid many experiences that she would have had a great time if she had just been able to relax. And as her keeper for the last 3 weeks, I have definitely learned that fear is Dolly's biggest decision maker. She makes most of her decisions through fear. Okay, that's Dolly. Let's talk about how God first led me to this message. Finding a safe place. I've been in my daily Bible reading, and I've restarted this chronological Bible reading plan in YouVersion, which is the Bible app. I do recommend, by the way, following a Bible plan. It's nice to pick up things that you're familiar with and read things that make you happy or comfortable out of Scripture, but a plan will take you through the whole book, and you'll find things that you may not have found otherwise. So I'm reading, we went a couple chapters in Genesis, and then we did the book of Job, and now I'm back in, I went back to Genesis, and now I'm in Exodus. So when I was in Genesis, I saw something that I've never seen before. Now, I've read this book dozens of times, the book of Genesis, and something leaped off the page like it never has. So particularly, I'm in Genesis chapter 37 all the way to Genesis chapter 46. And a quick synopsis is that 10 of Joseph's brothers were very jealous. Their father, Jacob, had doted on Joseph and had given him a beautiful coat of many colors. And so these 10 brothers are very jealous, not 11 brothers, because it didn't count the youngest brother, Benjamin. But the 10 older brothers were like, we got to do something about this kid. So 9 of those 10 brothers decide to sell Joseph into slavery. Never in a million years did they expect Joseph to go into Egypt and rise to power through the favor of God and become the second in command in charge of all of the storehouses of Egypt during a great famine. They did not foresee this. And of course, Jacob had no idea his son was alive. The brothers had deceived him into thinking that an animal had destroyed his favorite son. And so he believes Joseph to be dead. And now in the middle of famine, the 10 brothers have gone down into Egypt and they've requested food, and Joseph has a chance to test the loyalty of his brothers. He says, all right, if you want more food, you're going to have to bring your youngest brother back. I'm going to keep one of your brothers here, Simeon, and 9 of you are going to go home, and I will not let Simeon go or give you more food till you bring your youngest brother back to me. That's intense. That's intense. So the other 9 brothers return home and they start to tell their father in Genesis chapter 42. We're going to start reading in verse 29. They came unto Jacob, their father, unto the land of Canaan and told him all that befell unto them, saying, the man who is lord of the land spake roughly to us. No, they didn't know it was Joseph. They didn't recognize him. This man spake roughly to us and mistook us for spies spying on the country. And we said unto him, we are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, which is not true, right? One is not. And the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. And the man, the lord of the country, said to us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brothers here with me, and take food for the famine of your households, and be gone, and bring your youngest brother unto me. Then shall I know that you are no spies, but that you are true men. So will I deliver you your brother, and you'll be able to do business in the land. Verse 36 has Jacob's response. Me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph already is not, and Simeon is not, and now you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my 2 sons if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I'll bring him back to you again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you. For his brother is dead, and he is left alone of the favorites. If mischief befall him by the way in which ye go, then shall ye bring my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. I'll just die. Now, Jacob was very quick and direct with his responses. This was a hard pass. He passed on this idea before they ever went down to Egypt. If you go back a few chapters, he says at the very beginning, I'm not sending Benjamin with you. Peradventure, some mischief befall him. And he's saying now, look, you've already been the messengers that told me of Joseph's demise. Now you're telling me that Simeon is also as good as dead. He's locked up by some crazy, power-hungry man in Egypt. Do you really think I'm going to send my youngest son with you? There is no way. This was a decision made from fear. This was a decision made from anxiety. And it was an absolutely understandable fear. It was fear that was drawn from his own experience. He had already been suffering for years the loss of his favorite son. More than 10 years now, Joseph's been gone. This has been a long, hard journey for Jacob, and now he's holding on tightly with worry and concern and anxiety to all the family that he has left. He's looking for the safest place he can find in this terrible situation. We may all starve first, but at least we'll starve together. That is a desperate, anxiety-driven decision. I can see how he came to that decision. I'm sure you can too, especially if you're a parent. Who of you would trade one child for another? It's an impossible conundrum. But there's a key element that I never noticed was missing until this time I read it. Not once do we see Jacob turn to the Lord and ask for his direction. Not once does he say, Lord, you see this impossible situation that I'm in. What do I do? His immediate response is out of fear. It's guided by fear. And what really got me was, I've never seen this before. This is exactly, or very similarly, the same situation that Abraham was in. Abraham, are you willing to offer Isaac and trust me? Jacob, are you willing to offer Benjamin and trust in God? Unto the salvation of your entire family? And Jacob fails this test. Now we know the end of the story. Time passes and everybody in Jacob's house is getting hungrier and hungrier, and the famine, it's getting worse and worse. And the whole family realizes that there's really only one answer. Ironically, Jacob is the one that says, hey, maybe you should go down to Egypt again. And they say, yeah, we probably should go down to Egypt. We probably should do that, but the man said he would not see us unless Benjamin goes with us. Now, Simeon's been rotting in jail this whole time, by the way. No idea what's going on. And that's not even what prompts Jacob to change his mind about Benjamin. Instead, he just kind of throws up his hands and said, well, I'm just going to assume that the very worst of my dreams or nightmares will come upon me and Benjamin will also be lost. Can't get any worse than this. There was no faith. There was no expression of, you know what, I just believe that God's going to go with you and that his hand is in this. And again, there's no prayer. God, what should we do? We know that on this side, behind the scenes, in the invisible realm, God was at work trying to save Israel, the man, and Israel, the nation. God had gone to great lengths to position Joseph in just the right place to be able to save an entire nation present at that time and future to today. And because of Jacob's myopic view of his own fear, he couldn't see the hand of God. He could not perceive the hand of God. It wasn't until Joseph made peace with his brothers, the nine brothers plus Benjamin descended into Egypt, and Joseph was able to reconcile, and Simeon made it out of prison. I'm sure he was the happiest man in the whole story, maybe second to Jacob. They get back, and Joseph sends wagons back at the behest of Pharaoh. He sends wagons and blessings back to gather all of the family and move them to Egypt. And Jacob is more than pleased. He's ecstatic. He's overwhelmed at the idea that this son that's so beloved, thought dead, is still alive, blessing the family. Not even then did Jacob pray. He praised, but he did not pray. It wasn't till he was en route to Egypt. In Genesis 46, Israel took his journey with all he had, Israel being Jacob, took his journey with all he had, came to Beersheba, and then offered sacrifices unto God. And as soon as he did that, God spoke to him. As soon as he turned in prayer and sacrifice and submission to God, God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here, no, he's using his old name. Jacob, Jacob, not Israel, Israel. But here's a reminder, you've gone back to your old ways here, Jacob. And Jacob speaks, here am I. And the Lord says, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make there of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. You're going to feel your son's touch once again. I wonder what this Jacob would have told the Jacob of months ago. Hey, that first time that they call for Benjamin to come down to Egypt, maybe you should talk to the Lord about it. If we all had a time machine, what would we tell ourselves about those decisions we make out of fear? Anxious fear is a terrible guidance system for life choices. It leads us to make very poor decisions that are centered on our own perceived self-preservation and our own perception of what the safest choice is, rather than seeking God's all-knowing, all-seeing hand at work. God, what are you doing? Where are you in this? I can't see any way out, but I know you have one. There's trust and faith to be demonstrated in those situations. I was touched again, reminded again. Pastor was speaking to us yesterday at the annual planning session with our pastoral staff and our departmental leaders. This doesn't all happen by accident, everybody. We plan it. We plan stuff. And Pastor was exhorting us at the beginning with a devotional, talking about all the people who were involved in preserving the life of Paul so that he could minister. And it truly takes the family of God to do this. But he also drew out that before they understood that God's hand was on him, they were afraid of him. And they wouldn't let him minister, and they wouldn't give him a place in the church, because this was the same man who had been consenting to the death of Stephen, the first martyr, and this was the same man who had rounded up dozens, hundreds, thousands of Christians and taken them to prison or to their death out of judgment, and God had converted his heart, but they couldn't see that. All they could see was their fear. If we let this man in, what will he do to us? Is he a spy? And only Barnabas bothered to ask God about it. And he stood up. Ananias as well heard from the Lord, but Barnabas stood up and spoke. Hey, I've seen this guy preach. He's the real deal. Pay attention. Listen to what he says. Let's save his life. When we work from a place of fear, we can very easily miss the hand of God at work. Since Dolly's been staying with me for the last 3 weeks, I've had multiple opportunities to learn from her. I'm sort of calling them doggy object lessons. So I was outside with her on Friday night, and she was busy. Her favorite place in the world is the backyard. She would be out there the whole time if we'd let her. She would hate it whenever it got noisy, but she would love to be outside most of the time. I was enjoying watching her enjoy all of the outdoors, and then this past Friday, the stillness of the night was broken by a terrible sound. It was a yelping dog. It might have even been two, and it reminded me of when I was a kid that my grandpa had beagles, you know, that deep, unique bark of a beagle, especially when they're scared, and that's what was going on with this dog. I could tell there was fear in the bark, and it was totally dark down the alley out here. I couldn't see anything. It was no way to really pinpoint where the sound was coming from or what was going on, but the dog continued to yelp, and I heard a man's voice yelping back at the dog, taunting it. And his words were sloppy, probably under the influence of some substance. And I was far away. I was not in any danger, but I kept hearing these sounds, and the gist of what the man was saying was coming to me on the wind. And it was ugly. And noises were happening, like things being thrown around, and a man's angry voice just kept going and made the yelping more abundant and more profound. And it took 10 or 15 minutes for that shouting and the yelping to settle down. And even when I went back into my own house, it didn't entirely take away the noise of what was going on outside. I'm an animal lover, and by this time I was sick to my stomach. Of course, my mind was picturing the worst possible situation for that little animal, probably far worse than it even was. But since this has been on my heart, this subject has been on my heart, it occurred to me that this dog was suffering the same kind of cruel and heartless treatment that we as humans endure when fear is our master. When we are subjected to the ways of fear, we suffer so much loss. We lose trust. We lose control. We lose our dignity. And by ourselves, we have no ability to escape. We're tethered to whatever the master of fear has tied us to. We're fenced in by the boundaries that the enemy has chosen for us. Anxiety and fear. Anxiety and fear. It's a cruel master. It's a compassionless master. It's a relentless and ugly voice. And I can still hear the yelping of a helpless animal. At the same time, I was also reminded of Dolly and all her anxiety and her fears. Fear of the big bad HVAC monster in the basement. I'm telling you, that fear runs her life some days. It makes her decisions for her of where she's going to be in the house and what she's going to be able to do. But during this stay, Dolly's done something that she's never done before. When the fan kicked on at my house, I was sitting over on the daybed, and Dolly jumped up and walked behind me, put me between her and the vent. And then she buried her head in the crook of my arm. When the thing that she feared presented itself, she came to her temporary master for protection. And it wasn't so much that I could stop the sound of the fan. I don't know if she knows that I have that power. It wasn't that I would stop the situation, but it was the comfort of relationship and knowing that I'm not going to let anything harm her. She has seen me over and over provide for her needs and treat her with kindness and keep her safe. And when she tucked her little muzzle into my elbow, it broke and touched my heart. And it made me want to do everything I could to protect her and help her know she was safe. And she is just a dog. I can't imagine how you parents feel when your child reaches to you for safety. It has to be similar on a different degree. It's not the same, but it's similar. And that desire in us to cover and protect a helpless creature, that comes from God's nature himself, replicated in us through his creation. He put that desire in us to protect, to cover. Why? Because it's his nature to protect and cover and provide safety. That's who he is. If that's in us at all, it's because it's first in our Father. And so when a broken and abused creature, tired of weight of sin and pain of sin and pain of fear and all of its consequences, when that broken creature approaches the Master, approaches our Lord, it can be a scary thing. You don't always know what's going to happen. What happens if I trust God with this? What happens if I bring him this anxiety and this fear? He might make the very thing that I fear happen. He might take my youngest son and send him down to Egypt. I'm afraid of that. So we come to God with fear in our hearts. God, I'm afraid that you might do some things to me during this healing process. And the Lord offers us instead shelter and safety, certainty. As soon as Jacob turned to the Lord said, "Don't be afraid. Here's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you down to Egypt. I'm going to bring your people right on back." Now, there was a lot that happened in between, but that promise was fulfilled that the people of Israel did come out of Egypt. The Lord takes time in dealing with anxious souls. He takes his time. And he cuts the ties that the old master of fear had put on you to chain you in place. He knocks down the boundaries that were placed on you by the enemy. And he saves us from ourselves. In Luke 13, Jesus says something so poignant. He's overlooking the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often did I want to gather your children together as a hen does gather her brood under her wings? And you would not." He could just as easily say, "Shayla, Shayla, how many times have I seen you cower with fear in the corner and want to come alongside you and pull you to myself and let you know it's all going to be okay? Rob, how many times have I seen you struggling to carry something that I can lift with ease, but you keep trying to do it yourself? I don't know anything about anybody. I'm just trying to let you know the heartbeat of God. How many times would I have helped you? How many times did I want to help you see past the fear to the truth?" He wants to be our place of covering and comfort. Pastor said it Wednesday, there's not going to be a safe place in this world. when they shall save peace and safety, sudden destruction comes. So I'm not looking to be preserved in this physical life. But if I can find a spiritual place of safety in the presence of the Lord, gathered under his wings, there is peace that passes understanding. It is so easy to have peace when things are peaceful. We're really going to need peace when things are warfare, when things are struggle. Peace only passes understanding when chaos reigns. I'm almost finished. Jesus can give us direction that leads us to a place of safety in him, a place of certainty, a place of relational comfort where I can nuzzle into his elbow and say, I'm a little bit scared right now, but I know you're going to make it all okay. Probably the passage in Psalm 91 that so many of us are familiar with, starting in verse 1, he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Now, the snare of the fowler was when a hunter would catch a young bird in a trap and use that young bird to bait a bigger bird. That snare of the fowlers for the young birds. The kind of chicks that the Lord wants to gather under the wings. And so that's why it says in the next verse, he shall cover thee with his feathers. That old hunter's not even going to be able to see you. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth, not our fear, but his truth will be my shield and my buckler. It's going to hold me together. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. I'm going to live in this place. I'm not stepping in on Sunday and stepping back out for the rest of the week. I'm living in a habitation of the Most High. I'm going to dwell in the secret place. I'm not just visiting on a Wednesday night. I'm going to live here. And when I'm in that place, he is covering me. We make him our habitation, meaning our habit is to be in his presence, under the covering of his wings. And if you wonder what kind of place that place of safety would be, dwelling alongside our great God. Listen to what he told Moses in Exodus 33. This is the Lord preparing Moses to show him his glory, the greatest desire of his heart. Show me your glory. And the Lord says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. But behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Now, God is speaking very literally to Moses here, but the principle, the spiritual truth of this passage is that the place beside the Lord is a sure foundation. It is a rock that we can stand on. And so it might feel sometimes like weakness when I'm that little chick seeking refuge under the wing of my of my father, the wing of my master, the wing of my protector. That might feel like weakness, but what's happening is that God's strength comes underneath me, and he's holding me, and it's a sure foundation, and there's nothing that can shake it. There's no fear and no anxiety that can take you out of that sure place under the wing of your Father. Amen. Let's all stand. Now, Jesus never promised us that our version of the big bad heater won't turn on, that we won't get scared by the blowing sound. He never promised that Christians wouldn't have hardship. In fact, he said the exact opposite. In this world, you will have tribulation. But what? Be of good courage, because I have overcome the world. His name is a strong tower. And he wants to become our safe place today. Where there has been fear making your decisions, he wants faith to start making your decisions. Where you have been overcome by anxiety, he wants trust to overcome you. What do you believe about God? Many of us believe that God is able. But we so struggle believing that he is willing. So here's the thing. Where he says to Jerusalem, how many times would I have gathered you? That's that same word, will. I wanted to. I had a will to gather you. That's his will. To cover you. To protect you. He can. And he will. Yeah. Amen. And he will. And this is not contingent on the will of man. Because this safe place is not about a King Nebuchadnezzar making a decision to throw you into a fiery furnace. He can, he will. And when it comes to dwelling in the secret place of the Lord, there is no but if not. He can and he will. The determinant is, will you dwell in the secret? What worries you? What fears have been plaguing you? There's nothing so scary that your master cannot see you through. What I've seen in the Holy Ghost is just waves of deliverance. If you want deliverance from fear, if you want deliverance from anxiety, it's here. It's rolling in even now. What do you want? Do you want to be plagued by all of these thoughts and all of these possibilities and the worst possible outcomes? Or do you want to let the Lord gather you to himself? Cover you with his wings. Hold and protect you. In the midst of all the struggles, in the midst of all the fears, in the midst of all of the monsters that we encounter, we have a covering to avail ourselves of. His name is a strong tower. If you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, today's your day to come to this altar and repent of your sins. To tell the Lord that you are sorry for departing from his word, for doing what's not acceptable to him. You can repent and turn your life around and turn to Jesus, and you can be baptized in the water in the name of Jesus Christ. His name covers you. It covers you. It is a strong tower. And then he will fill you with the Spirit of God so that you can become an overcomer. And you can dwell. dwell in that place of safety and security for all of eternity. God, help us. God, help us to choose to be covered. Bring your worries, bring your stresses, bring your struggles, bring your anxiety to this altar. I promise that God is here to meet you in Jesus' name.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Cups overflow.